You're listening to a WebYeshiva.org podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org to take part in our fully interactive online yeshiva. Visit blog.webyeshiva.org for more free downloadable Torah content.
Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Supporting Actor of the Week podcast. Tzipora, the wife of Moshe, appears in three stories in the Torah. The first story is of Moshe's coming to Midian and saving the daughters of Yitro at the well and subsequently marrying Tzipora. The second is a very strange story of Moshe and Tzipora in the Malon, in the place where they stayed on their way back to Mitzrayim. And the third is the story of Yitro coming to Moshe at Har Sinai accompanied by Tzipora and her and Moshe's two sons, Gershom and Eliezer. There's also a story where Miriam and Aharon speak about the Isha Kushit, who Moshe had married. However, Tzipora is not mentioned by name, and not all Mefreshim agree that that is a reference to Tzipora. So we're going to stick to the first three stories that I mentioned. So let's start at the beginning with the first story. Moshe grows up in Bat Paro's house, and upon leaving the palace and going out amongst Bnei Israel for the first time, he sees an Egyptian beating a Ish Ivri, a Hebrew slave, and he kills the Egyptian man because he was going to kill the Hebrew, the Ivri, and he hides the body of the Egyptian man in the sand. And after that, he goes out again and he sees two Hebrew slaves fighting, and he asks, Lama takere'echa? Right, he asks the Rasha, apparently the one was the bad guy in the story. Lama takereacha, why are you hitting your fellow Ivri? And the man answers, Misam chali ish sar v'shofet aleinu, right? Who made you a ruler over us? Halahargeni ata omer kasher haragta ata mitzri. Are you going to kill me the way that you killed the mitzri? So among other interesting things that we learned in that story, which is not our topic for today, right? Moshe finds out from the words of that Ivri that the incident was known where he killed the Ish Mitzvi, and was something which he apparently had not known before, that other people knew what had happened. Then in Pasuk Tetvav, Vayishma Paro et Hadavar Hazeh, we're in Perek Bet, Pasuk Tetvav, Vayishma Paro et Hadavar Hazeh, Vayivakesh laharog et Moshe, Vayivrach Moshe mipnei Paro, Vayeshev be'eretz Midian, Vayeshev al ha-be'er. Right, so Moshe, despite his being essentially like a prince in Egypt, is forced to flee Egypt because Paro wants to kill him. So I would imagine, because of this, that he might not have been accepted entirely as being one of the family. Right? One imagines that if the true son of Bat Paro, the true grandson of Paro, had killed an Egyptian, a regular Egyptian person, then this might be overlooked. And so if Paro wants to kill Moshe because of this, then one imagines that maybe he was never completely accepted as part of the family. And he runs to Midian, and he sits by the well. And there he sees something interesting. Ulechohen Midian sheva banot, vatavona vatidlena vatim malena ta rehatim lahashkot tzon avihen. The daughters of the prince of Midian, right, who are kind of, you know, princesses of sorts. He's not a king, but he's, you know, one imagines that they're of high standing in Midian, are being treated badly by the shepherds. And it's an interesting question itself as to why, right? This is, according to some sources, we see here that Yitro had already decided to leave his Avodah Zarah and go to worship one god, and that's why the daughters are being treated badly. Although that is certainly not in the Pshat, clearly, so it's an interpretation. So the shepherds are treating these daughters badly, and they chase away the daughters of Yitro, the Kohen of Midian. And as it says, Vayavo'u Haro'im, Vayavo haro'im vayigarashum. Right, and we'll see in a moment that the word vayigarashum, right, they chased them away, meaning the shepherds chased the girls away, is a very significant word. Vayakom Moshe vayoshian vayashketzonam. Right, Moshe, right, acting in character as the protector of the defenseless, as we saw in those two previous stories where he goes out amongst Bnei Israel, right, he saves them, vayoshian, and he waters their flock. And if the three stories of Moshe, or the two previous ones for sure, of Moshe defending the defenseless are sort of a foreshadowing of his role as the leader of Bnei Israel, or at very least the part of the learning process which prepares him for the leadership of Bnei Israel, right? So then the daughters who are being saved here symbolize Bnei Israel who are in need of his help. It's kind of like a foreshadowing of what he's going to be doing in the future, his role as leader, or part of his role as leader. And so the daughters in this kind of parable of sorts are symbolic of Bnei Israel. Vatavona el ruel avihen, vayomer madua miharta bohayom, vatomarna ish mitzri, hitzilanu, miyad haroi, vegam dalo dalan lanu, vayashke tatzon. The daughters come home, and Ruel wants to know like why they let such a good catch go, this guy who helped them, why did he let them go? And he tells them, come home, go to tell him to come to our home to eat bread. Vayomer el benotav, vayo, lama ze azavten et ha'ish, kir, Akir en lo vayochal lachem. Vayoel Moshe lashevet ta'ish, vayiten et tzipor bito le Moshe, vatel et ben vayikrat shemo gershom, ki amar ger hayiti be'eretz nochriya. Right, Moshe comes, and eventually he marries Tzipporah, one of the sons of the Kohen Mijan. The whole question of Ruel and Yitro, are they the same person? Two people, extraordinarily interesting question, not the topic of today's podcast. But he marries the son. He marries the daughter of Kohen Mijan, and they have a son. And he, Moshe, names him Gershom. And he says, "Why is he named him Gershom? Ki ger hayiti be'eretz nochriya. I was a stranger in a foreign land." Some Mefreshim say that this refers to his experience when he first came to Mijan. Right, he leaves the only home he's ever known in Mitzrayim. He runs away. He comes to Midian, where he felt like he was a stranger. And he's saying, I was a stranger in this new land. Perhaps the fact that he now is married and has a child, he's now saying, but now I am home. Now I have made myself a new home. Other Mefreshim say that Kiger Hayiti refers to Mitzrayim. Right now, with the perspective of time and distance, Moshe is saying, I understand that I was never a Mitzri. Right, The daughters of Yitro call him an Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu, right? And he obviously grew up as a Mitzri. But now he understands that he was not a Mitzri. But rather he was a Ger, right? That was never really his home, he now understands. And this idea might be hinted in the name Gershom in another way, right? Gershom, if you look at it, Gersham. There in Mitzrayim, he says from his new position in Midian, I was a Ger. Right, and the name is interesting in yet another way. Right, it echoes. Right, I mentioned that this word was important. It echoes what we heard earlier in the story. Vayigarashum, right? The word vayigarashum, that the shepherds chased the sisters away from the well, so that. So what was the significance of this echoing? That Moshe's experience in Mitzrayim, or what ultimately became his experience in Mitzrayim, that he was essentially chased away from Mitzrayim, right? Which is also reflected in the name Kiger Hayiti Be'eretz Nochriya, is similar to what was happening to the sisters at the well, to the daughters of Yitro at the well. So Moshe's experience becomes parallel to that of Tzipporah and her sisters. Right? They were chased away, and he too was chased away. One could even say they were all children with status of sorts in the lands that they were in, and they were being chased away. So their experience is very parallel. And so what Tzipporah and his sisters are experiencing is parallel to what Moshe experiences, right? That the place that he once knew as home, he now realizes was not really his home and he was a ger. They all experience being strangers in their own land. Their experiences, which are parallel to each other, are together both symbolic of the experiences of the entire Am Yisrael in Mitzrayim, as it will play out in the rest of the story. A lot of these themes are echoed in the third story in which Tzipporah makes an appearance. When she comes with her sons, with Yitro, to Har Sinai. Right, and that moves us to Perek Yud Chet in Sefer Shmot, We'll start with Pasuk Aleph. Vayishma Yitro Chohen Midyan, Choten Moshe, et kol asher asa Elohim le Moshe uli Yisrael amo, ki hotzi Hashem et Yisrael mimitzrayim. Right, Yitro hears of all the things that Hashem did for Moshe and for Bnei Yisrael, that Hashem took them out of Mitzrayim, right? And this is the reason that Yitro comes to meet Moshe at Har Sinai. And later, in the course of the conversation with Moshe, Yitro blesses Hashem. Baruch Hashem, asher hitzil etchem miyad Mitzrayim umiyad paro, asher hitzil et ha'am mitachad yad Mitzrayim. Right, he blesses Hashem for saving them, Bnei Israel, from Mitzrayim and from Paro. Now, a key word in this story, which we haven't read in its entirety, but you can take my word for this, is the word lahatzil, hei tzadi lamed, which appears repeatedly in this section. Right, it's five times that verb is used in seven psukim. Four times this describes what Hashem did for Bnei Israel. Right, that Hashem saved Bnei Israel, hitzilotam mimitzrayim. The fifth time comes in the description of the arrival of Yitro and his daughters and his grandsons. When the grandsons are mentioned, for some reason, the meaning of the names of the sons are mentioned too. Right? It says that he brought the two sons of Sipporah and Moshe are brought. Gershom, ki ger hayiti beretz Nochria, right? The meaning that of the name that we already saw in Perek Bet. And now we also hear about Eliezer, the second son, who had not yet been born in Perek Bet. Ki Elohei avi be'ezri vayatzileni micherev paro. Right? So we never hear about Eliezer before, and now this is a new explanation that we never heard before, that Hashem was Moshe's helper, right, and saved him, hitziloto vayatzileni micherev paro, from the sword of Paro. Now, presumably this refers to when Moshe was running away from Mitzrayim and Paro wanted to kill him, and he was saved, right? So Moshe is thanking Hashem for saving him from the sword of Paro. Perhaps, and this is something that I talk about in depth in a previous podcast from the Midrash podcast series on Yitro, perhaps the meaning of the names are mentioned here all of a sudden, right? That seems somewhat like as a kind of an aside. You have to wonder why it's here, because suddenly the names of these children have renewed meaning and relevance, right? It's clear to all, right? To Yitro, perhaps most of all, that the earlier events of Moshe's life foretell the later miraculous events in Am Yisrael's history, right? That just as Moshe was a stranger in his land, and then he was saved from the sword of Paro, so to all of Am Yisrael, we now see at this point in Perek Yudchet of Sefer Shemot, had been strangers in the land of Mitzrayim, and they were saved from Cherev Paro. Right? Suddenly, as we saw in Perek Bet, Moshe's life and Bnei Israel's life are parallel to each other, and this is striking, and this is perhaps also part of what brought Yitro to Har Sinai at this moment. It is significant, of course, that the word hitzil shows up in Perek Bet as well. While the Torah describes Moshe's saving of Yitro's daughters with the word vayoshian, right, that it says that the shepherds were chasing them away, and Moshe comes vayoshian. He said he saves them. When the daughters themselves describe the events when they come back home, right, they say to their father, Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu. Right, they don't say Yoshienu. They say Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu. Right, that very significant key word. and that is being echoed once again in Perek Yudchet. So again, Moshe being saved from Paro by Hashem is once again we see parallel to what happened to Tzipora and her sisters being saved by Moshe, which in turn is symbolic of Hashem saving Bnei Israel as a whole, by way of Moshe, so to speak, right? Moshe kind of doing the work down here on earth, in the process of saving Bnei Israel. Right, so we see that Tzipora and what happens to Tzipora here is very interesting symbolically, right? That her life is somehow parallel to that of her future husband, which has in turn very significant symbolic parallels to that of Bnei Israel as a whole. But Tzipora as a person in those two stories that we've looked at so far is rather passive. Significant and symbolic, etc., yes, but she doesn't really do very much. I mean, she does get married, she does come with her father, but she doesn't say a word. We don't hear her voice once throughout this entire story, and she's not the active one in the story in any sense. In contrast, the third story, which is actually the second story because it takes place between the two stories that we just looked at, she's extraordinarily active. This story, the story of Tzipora and Moshe in the Malon, is a very strange story, extremely enigmatic, perhaps one of the most enigmatic stories in the Torah, where the questions far outweigh the satisfactory answers in terms of how to understand the story. And there are so many different questions and so many different permutations and combinations of the answers to these questions that it's hard to come up with an understanding what the story for sure means. But in a nutshell, right, we're in Perek Dalet now of Sefer Shmot, and we'll start a little bit before the story of the Malon in Pasuk Kafala. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, belechtecha lashuv Mitzrayma, re'e ki kol hamoftim asher samti biyadecha, va'asitam lifnei faro, va'ani achazek et libo, v'lo yishalach et ha'am. Right, you're going back now to Egypt, Hashem says to Moshe, you have all of these wondrous miracles that you're going to do before Paro, and his heart will be hard. I will harden his heart, and he will not let the people go. Va'amarta el Paro, ko amar Hashem bini v'chori Yisrael. Go before Paro and say, Hashem says thus: Yisrael is my firstborn. Va'omar elecha shalach et bini v'ya'avdeini. Send, I say to you, let my son come out to worship me. V'timayin shalcho hine anochi horege bini bincha bechorecha. That he will, or you will, Paro, refuse to let him go, and therefore I will kill your firstborn. Right? Perhaps a reference to Makap Bechorot, which is going to come. Vayhi v'derech b'malon, v'yifkesheu Hashem v'yivakesh hamito. On the way, in the Malon, right, in the place where they stayed for the night, Hashem met him and wanted to kill him. V'tikach tzipora tzor, v'tichot et orlat bena, v'taga l'raglav, v'tomer ki chatan damim atali. Tzipora took a flint, and she cut off the foreskin of her son, and touched his legs, and said, because you are a bloody bridegroom to me, v'yiref mimenu, right, Hashem apparently went away from wanting to kill him. Azamra chatan damim lamulot. And then she said, a bloody bridegroom because of the circumcision. Questions? Why was the baby uncircumcised? Right? Why did he not have a brit milah? Which of the two sons was it? Right? Was it Gershom who did not have a brit milah, or was it Eliezer who did not have a brit milah? Who did Hashem want to kill, and why? Right? Was it Moshe that he wanted to kill? Was it the baby that he wanted to kill? What is this business about the chatan damim? Right? What does Tzipora mean by that? And what's the difference between saying ki chatan damim atali and chatan damim lamulot? Right? Many, many questions about this story. One thing that is clear is that one of the babies did not have a brit milah. Hashem was apparently not pleased because of this, and Tzipora saves the day by giving the son a brit milah. One possible interpretation is that the boy, whichever one it was, did not have a brit milah, was perceived negatively because it simply was not possible, for whatever reason, that Moshe had not yet circumcised his son, and there are different possible reasons, some more significant, in terms of there's a midrash, for example, which says that he didn't circumcise his son because he had dedicated his first son to Yitro's God and not to his own. Others would say because he'd been born shortly before they left, and it was dangerous to give the brit milah at that point. But it seems that one interpretation would suggest that, regardless of what the reason was that he didn't circumcise his son, it wasn't possible for Moshe, who was about to become the leader of Am Yisrael, was about to be the man to receive the Torah, that he have a son as he goes off to become this leader who was not circumcised, who did not have a brit milah. It just was not possible that Moshe, that specifically Moshe, not have a son without a brit milah at that point. And like I mentioned a moment ago, right, there's this strange midrash, interesting midrash in the Mechilta, where Moshe agrees, Yitro says that he can marry Tzipora if he dedicates his first son to Yitro's God. And this is why Hashem is angry, because Moshe would do such a thing. Because after all, how can Moshe, right, this is the most severe, let's say, interpretations of what Moshe did, how can Moshe have a son who is dedicated to a different God? Now, whether or not this midrash is telling us the exact circumstances of what happened, it seems to reflect the general problem that I mentioned earlier, that Moshe has to be strong in this area. He has to be the one to set the example. He can't have anything that seems wishy-washy at all, right? He has to be on the side of God, so to speak, without them being brought into question at all. And Tzipora somehow understood this and rectified the situation. So we see that Tzipora, fully recognizing the significance of her husband and her sons, right, in a way perhaps that Moshe himself did not, right, because we know that Moshe at this stage of the story is still pretty unsure of himself, right, just before the story of the Malon is the encounter at the Sneh between Hashem and Moshe for the first time, where Moshe is fraught with insecurities and why me and how can I possibly and why did you choose me and I'm not good enough. So he didn't understand his own significance yet, whereas Tzipora seems to get this. she seems to understand Moshe's significance, the problem at hand, and why it is critical for her to do what she did right at that moment in order to save her husband and or her son. And so she, here, right, again, in that very quick action of hers, makes clear that she understands the significance of Moshe, and she saves him in a way that is a glorification of God, right? Which is what is necessary for this family at this stage of the story. There is another midrash, which appears in the Targum Yonatan as well as in the Yalkut Shimoni, which seems to reflect the same quality of Tzipora. Meaning it seems to see this quality in the stories, and that seems to be the incentive, so to speak, of this midrash, right? The midrash seems to be bringing out these same qualities in a different point of the story. I'll read the version of the midrash that appears in the Yalkut Shimoni. Vehi kishma Ruel et dvarav, right? Ruel hears from Moshe, you know, kind of like his back history before coming to Midian, everything that had happened in Egypt, etc., and his running away, etc. among other things, which, you know, I'm not going to go into all the details right now. And Yitro doesn't like this back history of Moshe, this idea that he was a wanted man by Paro. Ve'ikacheu el beit ha-sohar, ve'hi kalu sham eser shanim. He throws him in a jail, in a prison, and he is there for 10 years. Vayhi behayoto atzur shama, v'tachmol alav tzipora bat ru'uel, right. So for those 10 years, while Moshe is wasting away in jail, Tzipora, the daughter of the man who put him in prison, has compassion on him and feeds him bread and water for those 10 years. Vayhi miket eser shanim, vatomer elavia lemor haish ha'ivri asher kalato ze eser shanim bevet hasar ve'ein dorish ve'ein mevakesh elav. V'ata im tov v'einecha avi nishlach v'nireh im mit v'im chai. הוא. ואביה לא ידע כי כלכלתהו. Right? So at the end of 10 years, Tzipora says, you know, remember that guy, that Ivri? Interesting that in this midrash, she refers to him as an Ivri, as opposed to a Mitzri, perhaps indicating that she now understands who he really is. Remember that Ivri that you threw into jail 10 years ago? And, you know, nobody's really spoken about him ever since. Let's go see if he's still alive or dead. And Reuel did not know that she had been providing him with food and water this whole time. Vayan vayomer Reuel, right? Reuel answers, "Hani hiye kadavar haze lehatzer gever bevet hakela esher shanim velo yochal v'lichya." What is that possible that someone would be in jail in a prison for 10 years, without any sustenance, and he would still be alive? Vatan Tzipora, and Tzipora answers, "Et avia lemor, halo shamat." Shamata Avi, ki Elohei ha'ivrim gadol v'norahu u'mafli lahem b'chol et. Right, you've heard, my father, that the God of the Hebrews is great, and he does miracles, you know, all the time. Hu hitzil et Avraham mi'ur kastim, ve'et Yitzchak min ha'cherev, ve'et Yaakov min ha'malach be'havko imo. Right, he saved Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov at various points in their lives. Ve'gam imze rabot asa, v'yatzileu mi'or mitzrayim u'mi'cherev paro. Gam mize yachol lemaltehu, right? And also with this one, with this man Moshe, he saved him many times. He saved him when he was in the Yor, right? When his mother hid him in the Yor, and from the sword of Paro, right? Vayatzileni mechayor Paro, he can save him from this as well. Vayitav hadavar beinei Reuel, vayaskein kedvar bito, vayishlach elabor lirot ma nasevo, right? And Reuel liked this, so he said. So he listened to his daughter, and they went to see what happened to the man in the pit, in the jail cell. Vayiru v'hine ha'ish chai v'omed al raglav u'mitchanen el Elohei avotav. And they come into the jail cell, and they behold, see a man alive and standing on his feet and praying before the God of his fathers. Again, this midrash, right, which is a very nice midrash, right, it reflects all of these things that we've seen kind of hinted to in these various stories that we've looked at about Tzipora. She, like we saw earlier, sees something in Moshe, right, which her father does not see. And she once again saves Moshe, making her joining the ranks, by the way, through the story of the Malon and in this Midrash, among the women who save Moshe, right? He's saved by his mother, he is saved by his sister, he is saved by Bat Paro, and he's being saved by Tzipora here as well. And she does it in a way, right, that glorifies God. She doesn't take the credit for herself. She says it's the God of the Hebrews who saves this man, and so she herself saves him, but she gives the credit to God, to Hashem. And the language that she uses is also very similar, clearly drawn from these stories that we've seen, right? How does she describe what Hashem has done for the Avot and for Moshe? Hu hitzil et Avraham. Hu hitzil Avraham. Ve'et Yitzchak. Ve'et Yaakov. Hashem saved them, the Avot. V'gam im ze rabot asa v'yatzileu min ha'yor. Right? So the word, once again, l'hatzil, right, which was repeated over and over in Perek Yudchet, and we also saw it in Perek Bet, and in Perek Dalet, Tzipora clearly matzil et Moshe, although the word there, I must admit, is not used, right? So once again, that language is being hinted to in this midrash about Tzipora. She saves Moshe just as Moshe had saved her, right? Ish mitzvi hitzilanu, and now she, although giving credit to God, she essentially saves Moshe. Her saving of him is symbolic of Hashem's saving of all of Yam Yisrael, right? Just as his saving of her was symbolic of Hashem's saving of Am Yisrael, right? As it will happen in the continuation of the story. So Tzipora is really Moshe's partner, right, in every sense, because she strengthens him in these stories, specifically at moments when he is spiritually or physically weakened for one reason or another. And by acting in a way that he himself would have acted when he was in an unweakened state. And so by standing in for him, so to speak, right, when it was necessary, she enables him to fulfill his role as the Matzil of Yisrael.